Are we good? We're all set? All right. Well, this is actually supposed to be the first part of the discipleship series that I started, but I started at the end last time. And I want to say thank you very much for those who have volunteered to host possible new members. We are moving into the second Sunday for people that are thinking about joining us here at the Disciple Center for membership. And so the first time last week was a joyous occasion with those who joined us. Although they didn't eat my enchiladas, they ate more of Kara's enchiladas. I won't take that personally. But they did tend to like the spicy corn, so we'll go with that as a win. All right, well, we are talking about discipleship and how to disciple others. And so today, I want to ask you guys, because I know the way that I like to learn, I like to know the end before the beginning. I want to know what the outcome's going to be. But this is one of those sermons, I can change it around and do whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get to the same central core piece. So who likes to know the end before the beginning in what you're being taught? I'm one of those guys that reads a novel, I'll read the last chapter to know. And then, oh yeah, I know, I see the faces. What are you talking about? But that's what I do. Yeah, you guys just learned something about me. All right, we'll just go with 1, 2, and 3. I want you to think, as I move into this piece, are you one of the Master's disciples? These are questions that I'll answer. We will explore today if you decided, or if did the Lord decide for you? Do you have a choice in making other disciples? Do you think the Lord can give you strength, knowledge, wisdom for the endeavors that He has for you? First of all, I want to start with, how many of you remember back in junior high, high school, whenever the coaches picked two of the best players, and then they said, divide up the teams. We're going to play basketball, we're going to play football, whatever it may be, volleyball. And now pick your teams. I hated that. I really did. I was never one of the first ones chosen. Unless one of my friends was the one that was choosing. Now that happened every once in a while. And it felt good to go, yep, that's right, I was number one choice here, right? But it was a pity pick for me. But let me tell you this. We're going to go through these scriptures. We're going to look. Because if you are here today, I'm going to assume that you are a follower of Messiah. Go ahead and turn over to John 15, 16 through 17. I always start, when I have a question of whether or not what's going on, what the Master Himself taught. And in John 15, 16, and 17, we will see what Jesus Himself said. I'm also going to take some deep breaths and slow down, because this worked out perfectly in how I performed it, or how I brought it to you in my head yesterday as I was studying for this. And sometimes I just need to slow down. So John 15, 16, and 17 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." That's a good thing, to know that the Father, Jesus, the two of them have chosen you for their team. That should humble you. Let's read back to verse 12 and let's read through that whole passage, because I've been taught not to just take just one or two verses, but read the whole passage because it can be misinterpreted. But I will tell you this, one passage or one verse that has been taken, and you've heard this all as well, we love because He first loved us. John, 1 John 4:19. Which should be humbling to know that He chose you to play on His team. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Verse 12 of this John 15 passage. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Oh, there's the catch. You can't be a player on His team and not do what He commands you. No longer do I tell you, you are slaves. For the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. Again, I'm going to read this. You did not choose Messiah, but He chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Wow. He chose me. That's humbling. He chose you. That should be humbling. He chose each and every one of us to be on a team that is going to win. The world thinks that they're going to win. They're wrong. It's Jesus Christ who's going to win in the end. Who likes being on a losing team? Anybody? Anybody want to be on a losing team? I always went into it thinking I was going to be on a winning team. I told you I read... How many of you have read Revelation? Yeah? See, you all cheated. You read the end. You know you're on a winning team. How do we bear fruit? We learn what He teaches, and then we start to practice it. We're going to look a little bit deeper. But before I do that, I am going to turn over to 2 Thessalonians, because this morning I was thinking, okay, that's John's perspective. That's what John wrote. And as I woke up this morning, my little reader from Billy Graham, a little thing that I probably had over 20 years, came from 2 Thessalonians 2:13. See what Paul has to say about this. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning." Before you were even formed, He chose you to be on His team. From the beginning, for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. I know there's many twists and turns and different things, but as I've read through the Scriptures, I can only see how God has chosen us, and we have to choose whether or not we're going to follow His commands. But He has a hold of us. We're His children. So, with that being said, we're going to move on to preparing ourselves for what the Lord has for us. To equip, how's He going to equip us? Let me ask you this. We need to ask God for guidance. We need to dive into the Scripture daily. We need to be reading His Word, asking Him to open our minds and our hearts to what He has for us. So you guys go ahead and turn over to James 1, 1 to 5. But let me ask you this as you do that. Whenever you are on a team, do you guys ever practice? I would hope if you do, you would want to get the right materials. So if I want to become, say, a surfer, I'm going to go and I'm going to go buy a surfboard. That's right. You know me and my illustrations. I'm going to get a surfboard. Now, some of you know, some of you are going to laugh about this because you're going to remember it. I bought a beautiful surfboard. It's not as small as this. I had to ask somebody who I knew surfed because they've gone surfing before and then showed up at church afterwards. And they've had a really good time. But I bought this really 9, 10-foot surfboard. Do you just start surfing on a shortboard? You do not start surfing on a shortboard. So I bought a big board. I bought, like I said, 9-10 foot. I'm going to become a surfer. You know, just one day I thought I would pick it up, and it doesn't look that hard whenever they're out there, does it? Huh. So I went and bought a wetsuit. How many of you have known me for 20, 30 years? Yep. Remember we used to go out to the beach when we were younger, hang out, do stuff after church, do things, fun things. I would love to see a whole bunch of high schoolers and college people doing what we did 20, 30 years ago. So I bought a wetsuit, went out there, and I'm picking up surfing, and I'd get up for a second and out off into the ocean, okay? Come out one day, and they're playing volleyball and all this fun stuff, and I take off my wetsuit, and I am covered from red rash from where it was all the way to my ankles. I was trying to become a surfer. California is not the place for me because I can't wear a wetsuit. I'm allergic to neoprene. They thought it was funny. That's all right. I won't hold it against them. But you can see why you want to buy the right material. Same way, in high school, I became a golfer. Right? So here we are. We're golfing. Can you just get out there with this driver and putt with it? No, that doesn't work. You got to have the whole gamut of things that you're going to use. Because there's different times that you're going to want the driver. There's going to be times when you want the wedge. That different times when you're on the green. They don't want you to use the driver on the green. They want you to use the putter. Okay? So, God's Word gives us all these instructions, and we have to learn. But you have to be willing to get in the game. If you're chosen for the team, you don't want to get to heaven, and the coach says, "What'd you do?" You want him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into glory." Okay? So, our job as pastors is to teach you that. So, James 1:1-5 tells us and talks about this. If you seek him, what's it say in this passage? It says, James, a bondservant of God, picking up at verse 1, of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you enter various trials. Been talking about this today. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Without reproach. If you seek the Lord, you're reading his scriptures, he's going to guide you in this way. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding and acknowledge him in all your ways. So in other words, do what he tells you in all your ways and he will make your path straight. You can't just be on the sidelines if you're practicing that passage of scripture. You have to be practicing it day by day. How did I know that I could call Stephen Martinez about a smaller surfboard to use as an illustration, because I've seen him come dedicated to church, but they went and took in some waves, took in sets of surfing before. I know because I've seen he's prepared in that way. The same way, how do people know if you, think about this, how do they know that you're following God, that you're following the Master? However, I'm going to turn over to 1 Kings 3:6-12 now. We're going to look, because that's what God allowed Solomon to ask. What do you want for the kingdom? And Solomon doesn't ask for riches. He doesn't ask for other things. He asks for wisdom. In this passage, we see, picking up in verse 6 of 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon said, "You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. You have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." Isn't that what we all want? We want our kids to take this faith, if you will, and carry on. That's what we all want. I think we're doing a great job of that, by the way, raising our kids in this way. "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child." Are you supposed to stay a little child in the faith? You're not. You're supposed to grow up and start doing things. "I do not know how to go out or come in," he says. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen. Again, God chose Israel, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding of heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge the great people of yours? God's response. It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches, nor have you asked for life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there have been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you. You arise after." You see, we want to seek the Lord. We want to ask for His wisdom. We want His guidance in our life. Again, I go back to, I always end up in the Torah. You guys know me. Is it found in the Torah? Jesus said it. Where am I going to find it? And you guys have read this next passage over and over and over through the years. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. I have to remember, though, that where Dr. Stokes was 24 years ago with us and brought us along, we're no longer there. But there are new people coming in that we need to bring along, like he did so long ago with us. They need to start. We need to start at Genesis. We need to go through the books of the Torah and the prophets. Take forth and do the 613 commandments that apply to us. Not all 613 apply to us, but many of them are something that we can learn by. For Deuteronomy, I think we're doing great at. It talks about doing things in the home. For it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, O people of God, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, they're talking to Israel, I get it, but at the same time, God has multiplied us plenty in this congregation after one Q&A. You guys remember that Q&A and what was asked? What's God mean by go forth and multiply? It opened up the river for more than two, I can tell you that. That most of us were probably planning to have. Opened it up to at least three a lot of times, if God willed it. And so, Bruce said, well, it means what it says. Two is just replacing. Three or more is starting to multiply. So, go forth and multiply. We took that seriously. I was just talking to the couples that were there last week at our house about who wants to do membership with us, who is looking forward to possibly joining us at the Disciple Center. And I said, we take the entire Scripture seriously here at the Disciple Center. And we need to apply it. And so, this is one of those that I say we strive really well to do just that. goes on to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." We just said that today in the Shema. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." Are you talking that much to your children about God? I challenge you to do that, especially if they're young. Apply things that you can to the Scriptures. Teach them that all that they do can be filtered through the Scriptures. And we got to pause sometimes when our anger gets the best of us. And why do we pause? Because God doesn't want us to be angry unless it's a righteous anger. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you in to the land in which he swore to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a great and splendid city which you did not build." Do you really deserve everything that you got today? Is it by the grace of God that God has blessed you with what you have? I believe that the Lord is bringing us through different times and different trials, and yet he's watching us. The angels are watching us to see what happens, and we've got to put our faith in the Lord first. And then, I'm not saying God's causing the trials, but what I'm saying, the angels are watching. And by so doing and putting things into practice, we are blessed by doing that. In this phase that we're starting, and this challenge that I'm saying, according to discipleship, I'm asking you guys to take another step. How do people know that we are Christians in our daily life? I just a few years learned that even though I work in a public school, they can't stop me from putting a Bible on my desk. Take the surfboard, I'm a surfer, right? I'm trying to be a surfer. Take the golf clubs, and I'm learning how to use the putter, and I'm trying to use the wedge, and I'm trying to use different pieces. Well, in the same way, God wants us to start to explore what we can do for him. I was just talking to Bruce a few weeks ago. We want you guys, and I love this, that some of the younger ones are starting to light these candles, and some of them are starting to do different things. But guess what? I need help back there with Randy. I need help back there with Robin. I need help making sure that the oil for these are always full. I need help loading the candles every week after service. After 5 or 10 minutes, we can replace those candles. We need this practice in our life to know how the things function in our congregation. And in so doing, we're going to start to grow. And in so doing, we should be putting into practice how we're following the Lord on a daily basis as well, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We need to be reaching out. I am going to take you through every piece of the Gospels as far as what Jesus commissioned to his disciples. Mark 16:14-16. I will go from Matthew, I did last time. Mark, I'll do this time. Luke and John, I'll do in the next few weeks, where he talks to his disciples and tells them what they are to be doing. Now, I know he's talking to his apostles, but you wouldn't be here without his apostles going out and spreading the good news. And he says to them in Mark 16:14-16, "Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves, and they were reclining at the table. He reproached them." He got on to them, if you will, "for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen." Do you get that? His apostles, he's getting on to them. When we're struggling to put things into practice, we're going to have the Lord's discipline upon us. That's okay. That's direction. It's guidance. We want that. Do you guys remember a few years ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I was telling us to tell our children to say thank you when people were having to get onto them? My own daughters, there was times whenever, you know, maybe it was Robin or maybe it was Miss Anya or whoever it was, said, hey, they were doing this and I got onto them. And then I would take them by the hand and I'd say, I want you to say thank you for that. They cared enough to tell them that they were doing something incorrect. In the same way, you see right here that Jesus got onto them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And then he goes on to tell them, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach. Teach the good news to all creation. That he has risen, and he is risen indeed. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. It's a sad, sad place out there in that world. We have neighbors, we have loved ones that do not believe in the hope that we believe. But are you bringing your surfboard? Are you bringing your golf clubs? Are you bringing the Gospels? Do they know that you're outfitted in that way? That you're ready to share the good news with them? There are scriptures in here, and I'm not saying that anybody has to wear a suit and tie like I do on a weekly basis. But what I am saying is, when I go into a restaurant or somewhere on a Sunday afternoon, and they see my family and we're dressed like that, they have oftentimes said, oh, where'd you go to church today? Oh, we went here. We go to the Disciple Center up here. Because I'm outfitted for God's Word. People know at work that I'm going to bring up God every single time. They struggle with death. They struggle that little kids die. And it's sad. It's horrible. And we've got to go in and we've got to counsel the whole class or the whole school at times. And they won't mention God once. And I'm like, how do you not mention God? It is something that I am. I can't differentiate. And I need to get better. Don't get me wrong. I need to get better about witnessing at school. But I won't unless I start to practice. You see, Jesus told them, he got on to them for their disbelief and their hardness of heart. But he tells them right there in that passage. And he tells them in Matthew. And he tells them in John. And he tells them in Luke. Go forth and make disciples. Not just your children, other people. I'm charging you. He charged us. We, and I will take you through this. That's a good thing. I'm going to take you through this. The next step I'm going to be talking about next week, not just in a few weeks, but next week I'm going to be talking about what we can start to do to share the good news. And it's not talking with others. And it's not just bringing your Bible and Bible thumping. It's what we do on the side that matters. Come back. I want to share with you what that is. But yet, I also want you to know, prayer matters. We have, and we are teaching our children to go out. We have a whole list of young ones that are going out to do mission work. We have mission work to do in our own backyards. But I have a whole list. Just like we're praying for Anna, we need to be praying for these young ones that are going out into the world and trying to reach the world for that good news and living out that scripture and that commission. But do you have a heart after God to play in that way on His team? I hope you do, because you're called to do just that. Let's go to Him in prayer today. Father in heaven,